Stopped at Dallas, done the riding with Rob, went on down to Cameron, Texas, and done the evaluation of the bulls that'll be sold in a sale. And when I was down there, there's people from all over the United States there, and this is my father's world. Reminded me of a couple I met, just lives down in South Texas on the Mexican border. And we got delayed. They had not had rain down there where they're developing our bulls since June. And so we was really kind of looking that the bulls was not going to look good because our bulls are not developed on anything but forage. They're not allowed to have grain. I mean, it has to be forage. So when you're headed down there and you got bulls down there, and I hadn't seen mine in a year, so I don't know what they're looking like, and I knew they hadn't had rain. Well, we get up on Wednesday morning to head out there, and it's pouring down rain, and everybody's saying, "Did you bring your rain stuff? Did you bring?" And we said, "Well, no, it hadn't rained down here since June." And then I said to someone, "But just guess what? At the end of every drought, it rains. At the end of every drought comes rain." You're supposed to laugh again. Come on, little row. So with that being said, that we've got a 2-hour rain delay under where the chute is, where they're going to come in and ultrasound the bulls. And so all these people from all over the United States are under a 20 by 24 carport, and in there's an alleyway and a hydraulic chute in the middle of it. And I'm thinking, well, if COVID wants to spread, here we go. They're all over the world, and we're all under here, and we're breathing on top of each other. And I was talking to that couple that lived down on the border, and I was asking them what kind of cattle they raise, because ours is kind of unique in that they're heat tolerant, and a lot of you know that they're crossed a Spanish breed with a African breed, and some of you don't know that, but they're just really, really a different breed, and just they're being introduced, and not people. It's hard to introduce something new like that, and especially when you talk about Corinti in our part of the country. Everybody looks at you and said, "Oh yeah, we rope them." Well, oh yeah, we eat them. And so, with that being said, I begin to ask these people, and it's like one of the guys pulled me to side, one of the cooperative producers, and said, "You can't do that as a cooperative producer. You can't say what's wanting you to look into these kind of cattle." He said, "You're kind of acting like it's a bad deal." And I said, "No, I just want to know what they're leaving." And most of them are saying, "We couldn't make money with the English breeds. They can't handle the heat. They can't handle the fescue. They can't handle this." So this one particular couple I'm talking to, we've had this breed, that breed, and I don't want to name the breed in case somebody hears me and thinks I'm running. And they just tell me what breed they had, and I ain't going to name that breed to protect the cattle that can't make it in those environments. And so, look here, he said, "A few years ago, we decided we're not going to vaccinate, we're not worming, we're not doing nothing. They will make it on the land." And that's a lot of the same philosophies that I'm going with. And so, he said, they have to make it with what Mother Nature gives them. And I said, "Sir, I know that's just a worldly thing that you just said. But you claim to be a Christian. We've done talked about faith before we talked about cattle." I said, "What's the deal with Mother Nature?" I said, "It's Father Creator. It ain't Mother Nature." How many of you have been guilty of saying Mother Nature? And I'm raising my hand. Folks, did you hear that song right there? It has nothing to do with Mother Nature. It's Father Creator. He's the one that created this world. And that's just another one of those little deals when you say, "What's the big deal?" Well, there's quite a bit of difference in me and Donna. I'm the father, she's the mother. There's a lot of difference in me and her. So what's the difference in calling it Mother Nature and Father Creator? There's a big difference. It's the Father's world. He is the Creator. And this is His. So that's just another one of them little deals that we don't even think about, and we say that. And that conversation after I said, "It's not Mother Nature, it's Father Creator." And that led on to a whole different conversation. And that's why that song triggered my mind back to that conversation with the rain pouring down. And we've everyone been guilty of saying Mother Nature. And I don't find that in the Scriptures, but I do find Father Creator. Amen. So that's just a short little devotion before we look into the Scriptures. You can turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles. It's been one of the most quoted verses. It's been talked about here every 4 years, and it's been brought up. And if you was to look back and just kind of back up from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, in chapter 3, you'd see that they are building the temple. In chapter 4, they're furnishing the temple. It's a huge deal. Chapter 5, you find that the ark is brought into the temple. And then chapter 6, Solomon makes a speech after the temple is completed, furnished. The ark is brought in. And then Solomon's prayer of dedication begins in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 verse 12, and so he prays all of chapter 6, and then he dedicates the temple in the first part of chapter 7, and there was such a presence of the Lord. I know you've heard me say this time and time again, that fire came down and the presence was in that place. So that's just a real brief background of it. But when, after all this happens, this great building, this furnishing, the ark, the dedication prayer, and even the presence of the Lord, fire coming down, can you imagine what it had been like to be there? And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12, then the Lord appears to Solomon by night. He gets Solomon off to himself and he says, "Now, man, that was great. You've built how I've told you to build. You've furnished how I've told you to furnish. You've brought the ark in how I've told you to bring the ark in. You've had this dedication service. I blessed that. I sent the fire down among you. It's been great." But then the Lord comes to Solomon by night and he says, "Hey, now, let's just get down and let me just tell you. Let me just explain some stuff to you. I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. But when I shut," verse 13, "when I shut heaven up and there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send a pestilence among my people." In other words, the Lord just comes to Solomon and says, "It's not always going to be like this. Don't you wish those mountaintop experiences and people would always 100% of the time," and when I say that, I'm included, "I wish 100% of the time I was in tune and the fire was always coming down on my life. I wish that." And these people wish that. And the Lord just tells Solomon, "It ain't always going to be that way. We live in the flesh, so it's not always going to be like that." And so he says, "So when it's not like that, I'm going to wake you up by sending a pestilence, a famine." That's the wake-up call. "I'm going to shaken and awaken you. And when I do that, if you, my people, will humble themselves, and if you will, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, and pray, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land." So I was back there trying to get a Facebook post. Anybody got Facebook in here? And okay. Lights are down low. Since COVID-19, and I ain't been on Facebook very long, I want you to look at that. That's a picture out of the Bible. And it says, "Pay attention, children." Can you see that? But the rest of it may be too small. There's two verses of Scripture that is circled and highlighted. What two Scriptures are they? They're the two Scriptures I just read to you. That is 2 Chronicles 7, 13, and 14. "Since COVID-19 come out, I have seen that post on Facebook at least 20 times. Has anybody else seen that post? Get them hands up high. I want to see that. You've seen that post. I'm so new at Facebook, I'm a little timid. I don't when I tried to respond once, I responded to the wrong person, and it's kind of got me I don't even know what to hit. But I'd about had enough when that come across my page for the umpteenth time. Because every time it comes, looks at that bold black. Yeah, you got an error. Thank you, Randy. That's pretty neat. Can I get an amen? So, umpteenth time I've seen that, and every time, can I get an amen? I've had enough. What was my response? My response was, an amen on that verse ain't going to cut the mustard. Quoting that verse, amening those who quote that verse, is not going to cut the mustard. Everybody wants to circle it. Everybody wants to highlight it. And everybody says, can I get an amen? This is not the only post in this pandemic, but all of them are saying, can I get an amen? God needs more than amens right now, folks. He does not need us to quote verses that we know by heart and we can see them over and over and over. So I just simply said, he don't need an amen. He don't need people quoting this verse. He needs people doing this verse. He needs somebody that will humble themselves, pray, seek God's face, turn from their wicked ways. That's what he needs. He never said, if when I send the pestilence and when I send the famines, if I can just get people to amen Bible verses, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. That's not what he said. And I see all these posts that's running down both political parties and each one running the other one down and quoting verse after verse, and it makes me want to scream. Folks, it's time to do more than copy and paste and can I get an amen of a Bible verse. And so what I am saying tonight, we have an opportunity, and I put that on my comment. Let me tell you what you can do better than saying amen. You can go to Washington, D.C. on September 26th. You can go to Oklahoma City on September 26th, and you can do exactly what these verses say. And I challenge them to do that. But what kind of preacher would I be if I just challenged all them and I didn't challenge you? Folks, we've got a God who wants us to pray when sickness comes. We've got a sister here tonight that I hadn't seen in a long time. She comes walking in. She's sick. She's done the medicines and the doctor. She said, I know what it's doing to me. I'm just ready to put my faith in God. And sometimes we have to come to that point, especially when we have a disease that the medicine's doing no good. She's here. We need to exercise the verse that says pray for the sick. We need to exercise and carry her boldly to the throne room tonight. We don't need to read James chapter 5 where it says if someone's sick among you, pray for them. And a fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And say amen and send people that's sick on the way. That does no good. Just like it does no good to put amen below that post. There are three comments, three amens. I think they quit because one of them comments is mine. It shut the amens off pretty quick. So look here. Tonight, all I'm saying is we're here to pray. I mean, I could preach to you another sermon. I could preach from that verse. We need conversion. If my people, we need confession. Pray and seek my face. I could preach commitment, turn from their wicked ways. And I could preach cleansing. I can outline them. It's like that. We don't need another sermon. That verse don't need another amen. That sermon needs action. That sermon needs us to do what it says to do. So if you're here tonight and you're not His child and you need to be saved, guess what? I'm inviting you to salvation tonight. And I want you to come to me, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, and I just happen to know where the book talks about salvation. And by the truths and facts of this book, I can show you how to get saved. If you're here tonight and you need to be saved, I can show you from this book exactly how to do that. I never want to leave an opportunity, a stone unturned when it comes to salvation, whether it's a Sunday night and a small crowd that we think everyone is saved. But this morning I talked about people lose their liberty when they're uninformed, uninvolved, and uninterested. And you saw the crowd here this morning, you see the crowd tonight. And that illustration I used on the bridge, I'm going to tell you, there's a big danger in not crossing the bridge. When we don't cross the bridge, here's what I forgot to tell you. After I looked all those real facts up about COVID, then I looked up suicide and oppression and depression. I don't think I said that this morning. That's the danger of not crossing the bridge. The danger of not crossing the bridge is everybody's going to pile up together, and then here comes bigger problems than COVID-19. Here comes bigger problems than COVID, financial problems. Here comes a bigger problem. If we're not going to cross the bridge, whether you take the bridge, whether you swim, whatever, there's going to be bigger problems. And that's where we're at in America. We got bigger problems than the virus. We've got suicides. We've got oppression. We got depression. And it's rising, and it's rising fast. I don't know how many of you has ever stood at a funeral and proclaimed the gospel when suicide has been committed. But I can tell you, look at me. I've done 3, and I'm fixing to do 4, and they are not easy. And I'm way more concerned about what this shutting down our country and what we're happening and just everybody sitting still, because guess what? There's more and more of those kind of funerals coming, and there's more and more of sitting with oppressed and depressed people coming if we don't move on. There's enough of that without us shutting this country down. So we've got our problems, and amen and that does absolutely no good. If you need to be saved, I'm here with the Word of God to show you exactly how to do that. If you're here as a child of God, we don't need to be amen in that verse. We need to get to our feet, simply to get on our knees and pray for our country. If you're here and you need prayer, I want you to come up here and I want you to sit on this front row. If you need prayer, and whether that's sickness, whether that's something you're going through, first of all, we're going to start right here with our people. And so if you need prayer, listen, we're here to pray for you. And so I want to ask everybody to stand. You can flip the lights back on, Miss Emma, if you want to. And if you need prayer for whatever it is, you don't have to tell nobody nothing. You come and sit down. I promise you, you're going to have some folks gather around you tonight and pray. Is that you? Is that you? Anybody here? Here comes a sister right here. She's a visitor. She's going to take a seat right up here. And I think we ought to gather around her. And I believe we ought to begin to lift her up in prayer. we take the time to pray for her, I'd ask you to move into the altars. I'd ask you to use your seat for an altar. I'd ask you to go wherever the Lord leads you to go. I don't know. You guys have not seen this come to the pulpit very many times with me, and I have no idea why it come with me tonight other than God knew. Because I just looked down at it. We just happened to be on our knees. And it says, Warren Adams. That's who the message is from. Rob, I know you're busy. Just wanted you to know that Dad passed away this afternoon. That's Pete. Many of you watched the riding with Rob where I baptized Pete. That text just come across while we was praying that Pete passed away. And so we will be calling you, it said. So seems like another funeral. But let me tell you what I appreciate about this one. It's going to be a fun one.
Amen.
If there's such a fun one. Because just a few weeks ago on his porch, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And a guy that was anti-church and anti-preacher has not missed but two Sundays since he prayed that prayer and since he got baptized. And those two Sundays he missed, one he was in the hospital, and the one he missed today, he didn't miss much where he was at. He got a lot more out of his church service that he is a part of now that has no ending. So I say that is, I don't bring my phone very often, and so we need to be praying for the Adams family, not for Pete. He's alive and well, and he's doing good. And thank God in his last days, he knew the importance of trusting Jesus. So we need to pray for the Adams family, and we need to be praying for our country. And I know many already done that, but as Dave plays a song, we just,
whether you kneel,
however the Lord's leading you, our hearts are heavy. There's disease, there is death, it is running rampant. I've been sitting around a picnic table in front of the home where the son took his life all afternoon. And I will be so glad when that eastern sky splits. I will be so glad when Jesus comes again. And I walked in this morning and Mark Squires looked at me and Mark said, Rob, you look tired.